Welcome to GoTo Gal, episode number 183. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone, and today our guest, Diane Mayer, is here to talk about business models, and not just this is a business model that's going to help you scale, but really about what does it take to figure out what business model is best for you to scale. One of the things that I just cringe over in this online industry is that it seems like there's only one business model that is quote unquote scalable, and everyone is like preaching it from the rooftops. And it almost feels like if you don't have this model, that your business model isn't good enough. I probably don't even have to say what business model this is. You probably know what I'm talking about. That said, I know that there's a lot of different types of business models that are highly scalable. And what I found is that depending on you and your team too, depending on if you're working with a team and how closely, that tapping into your strengths, tapping into your natural gifts, the things that just come easiest to you, because when you're working with the grain instead of against the grain, that's when I find things are more scalable. When you're trying to fit yourself into that business model that just isn't you and everything it takes to do that, that's where there's a lot of friction. So not that everything needs to be easy, but I find that the more you can closely align your business and what you're doing in your business and your team and what they're doing within your business with how you work best, the faster and easier things are going to go. So that is why I have our guest today joining us, because Diane, one, this is a topic that Diane is obsessed with, just like me, and something that she's able to really help her clients with. And she is also certified in something called wealth dynamics, which is one of the tools in her tool belt, her metaphorical tool belt, that she uses to help clients figure out what business model they should be leveraging to really get into that flow state, to feel the most fulfillment, and to set themselves up for the most wealth potential, if you will. It's not just a cookie cutter, one and done strategy. Depending on your type, there's different ways that you can be tapping into your own wealth building superpowers. So you can see why I was very fascinated with this topic and eager to have Diane on to discuss this more. Now, I want to be really open about something, even though this is very much not about me. It's going to come up in the interview and, you know, as like the person talking about it, I feel like it's good to fill you in on these things. So I took this wealth dynamics assessment, and the result I got was actually pretty surprising to me and some friends who had predicted what I would be before I took it, and even my team members who wouldn't have thought that that would be what I would test as. So that said, Diane, who I have coached before, is like, oh no, your result is perfect and spot on. So it's interesting how that happens, right? Now, that said, I'm still reflecting on what, I guess, my exact result from this or what my profile is. My test result came back, but I also think it may have been skewed because I'm in a point of my life coming out of quarantine and being such an extrovert where I just feel so... oh, I'll be dramatic and say desperate for human contact, because that's really what it feels like. I'm just like, I need people. I feel like my quarantine, we can do hard things. Adrenaline ran out. And even though we can see people now, it's just, I don't know. It's like I'm still trying to fill that cup. So I think that my results may have been skewed coming from that place, taking it. However, there's still a lot of myself that I see in the result that I got. And it was really just an incredible opportunity to be able to chat that out with Diane in this conversation. So you'll hear me processing my own type two and how that fits in. And maybe I'll do a follow-up at some point on, I don't know if I figure out exactly what my type is or not. I still don't feel like I'm in the point to say with certainty, this is what it is or this is what it isn't. But that's not the point of this interview. The point of this interview is to talk about how you can be strategizing your business model to really fit around your superpowers and to open your mind up about what that potential looks like. There is not a one-size-fits-all business model. All right, let's hop to it. Before we dive in, I want to officially introduce you to Diane, and then we'll get into this conversation. Diane is a business strategist who helps entrepreneurs build successful lifestyle businesses. With over a decade of experience in the finance world and corporate, Diane knows exactly how to take small businesses from decision fatigue and information overwhelm to confidently taking the right action in the right way with the right people for their business. As the host of Coffee and Converse podcast, she shares success strategies for lifestyle entrepreneurs each week. In her spare time, this spreadsheet-crazy, puzzle-solving systems nerd is passionate about travel, live events, coffee, and Converse. Oh, and Converse, though not in that order. Although I'm second guessing if she means I should have asked her this, the shoe Converse, or just like conversating like her podcast. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to assume both. We're just going to assume both here. All right. Let's get to it. Here's my conversation with Diane. Diane, I'm so excited to have you here today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I'm excited to chat about this.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I have all the questions for you. I don't know how we're going to squeeze this all in. But before we get started, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
I would have to say, like, I was probably the go-to girl for like everything nerdy. I was the person you can count on to have studied for the test, so to tell you what the important things were that you needed to know, to have done the homework so that you could copy it, to tell you what had happened in the book that you were supposed to be reading for like your book report. Even at university, I can remember like people coming to me right before like our tutorials and being like, hey, did you do the work? Can I copy it? I think I've always been that person who, if there's a deadline and something needs to be done, I can be relied upon to do it, strangely enough.
I think we all needed a friend like you.
Right, yeah. I mean, cool. I got progressively more popular as we got older.
I can imagine. Oh, I have this obsession with Lin-Manuel Miranda, and he made a post recently talking about how he, for both Hamilton and In the Heights, he did the last song, the finale song for both musicals. He completed it on the last day of the workshop that like with the live actors that like needed to perform it that day. He finished writing it that day. And he's like, yeah, I'm forever the kid doing their homework on the bus. And I was dying. I'm like, I was totally the kid doing the homework on the bus. And you were the one that was like, oh yeah, like that was done and turned in early and all the things.
And like, well, not turned in early because you know, I'm not going to add something.
Oh, okay. You know,
but the school bag was definitely in the school bag. It was packed the night before. With next to the uniform, it was ready to go. Super organized. Nothing left to chance.
Love it. Fast forward to today. Tell us, what do you do and who do you help?
So I help coaches, consultants, service providers find their superpower and use that to build a business that doesn't lead to burnout. So still hits those goals, but does it in a way that feels really good, basically.
Yes. Okay. So what does that mean? So tell us more. So what do you mean by
this? Come on. So what that looks like from a business model perspective is I work in VIP days. So I look at business strategy and I don't feel like strategy is built in 60-minute increments. If you're doing a 60-minute coaching call, by the time you've said hello, you've caught up, you've got to leave some time for goodbye and next steps, you've got maybe like half an hour, 40 minutes. And when you're looking at your whole business and trying to work out why something's not clicking in your team or why something's not clicking in your money-making side of things, why something feels off for you, you have to be able to dive into that whole picture. And this is the reason that companies have offsites. They pick people up, they take them away from all their day jobs and distractions, and they put them in a different place for a day or two or a half day or whatever. And so that's what I do. I do 3-hour or 6-hour VIP sessions, depending on what the person needs in their business. And we work through what I call the superpower factor, which is where do you fit in your business? How do you make money based on you? And how do you build a team and systems that support you? So really putting you at the center of your business instead of your clients, but that takes time. So we do that in a 3-hour session, and then there's some follow-up support that goes with it. And then you go forth and implement the elements of the plan. That's basically what it looks like. Because I think a lot of people have built businesses that were not made for them. You know, they've built systems on lifetime deals from AppSumo. They've built teams, often teams. They've built little mini replicas of themselves. Their offers are like, who will buy what from me? What do I have to sell that people want? Let me sell that. And then you're like, oh, I've been in business for 2 years and I hate my life. And it all comes back to actually, who are you? What's your superpower? How do you support that with your business instead of you trying to turn yourself into a pretzel to fit into the business you've built?
Oh, this message needs to be preached so loud, because I think in our industry, one, all of the points that you mentioned, but something I see too, when I've done, like I've been subject to, I don't know how I say that, but something I've done too, is like my first business model was based off of my mentors. We follow people online and we're like, oh, that's how they're being successful. That's how they're making money. And we think that maybe we think we're similar to them just by personality on the outside. Or maybe it just looks fun, or we just think that's what's going to get results. And we model that. And oh my gosh, with my first business model, that's what I did. I had built a membership modeled off of my mentors. And it wasn't really a membership. It was really just a very cheap group coaching program. In retrospect, it was like, if you have under 100 people, you're really just undercharging for group coaching. But I also, in terms of having to create content and keep up with all of that stuff with a membership and the team and all of the logistics of it, it was, I felt like I was always on. I felt like, you know, people were paying very little and just expected to, whether they expected it or not, I like felt like I had to be, you know, on call all the time with that. And when I started looking closer at it, I'm like, oh, but there's two of them and they have full-time employees. And their different skill sets are this. And ultimately, they ended up deciding that business model wasn't even for them. But when I started looking at myself as just me trying to do all of that and realizing how hard it was for me, it took me a while to realize like, oh, I'm making this really hard on myself and I don't have to.
Yeah. And I think what we see a lot in the business coaching space is where I come from a corporate background where over many years, I got to go into progressively more strategic meetings until you're at a very high level learning how people think. I think a lot of the business coaches that we see have actually done one thing successfully and are now coaching people to do that one thing versus looking at the business holistically. They're going, you need to do it this way. Whether that is you must do reels, you must do marketing, you must do webinars, you need to have a group program, a membership. They have been incredibly successful at what they do. And from a place of purely wanting to help people, I don't think it's malicious at all. They're out there sharing that message without realizing that people are internalizing that as this is the way to build my business. And once people cycle through that a couple of times, each next person starts to look like the thing that might save you. Like, I've been in business, it's not working. This is the thing, because look at these results. So it's very hard to know what that person's skill set is, what their backup is, what their support is, what their home life is, what their experience is, what their audience size is, in order for you to compare. And I mean that with the person teaching it and every single testimonial that you're reading, because a lot of those big number testimonials are driven off of huge audiences that have been built over years. And so instead of saying, okay, here you are, individual CEO who wants X type of business, I'm going to assume that everybody wants to make $1 million doing it my way. And that's what I'm going to teach. And then when you get into that stage of this doesn't feel right to me, you're encouraged to believe that it's your mindset or a block, or I don't know, you didn't manifest hard enough. I've definitely heard that one.
And what happens, I had to take myself off of mute for that. I'm like, all right.
But what happens is that the longer you keep doing this, the longer you keep trying to fit your square peg into all these round holes, or, you know, I don't know, diamond holes, triangle holes, because you're trying every option, the less confident you're going to feel in your own decision-making, in your own ability to know what is best for your business. And hey, presto, mindset problems, blocks. So it becomes this like self-fulfilling prophecy the longer you try to do this thing. And so it's almost that it's really difficult to do, but it's stepping back and saying, if I knew what to do in my business, what would that be? And then if you're in someone's program, taking what you need from it, like go into a program, learn their webinar format and leave. Ignore the rest of the stuff that you don't need. And that makes you into a different kind of CEO.
And it's funny you say that, because that's exactly how I treat programs, is I just go in and like get what I need. And not everybody's like that, though. And I've seen that with my own students where they want to go step by step and all of the things. And that's great because as a course creator, as a program, you can deliver that, right? I don't want everyone to be like me and just like go take a module or two. But sometimes that's all people need, right? And that's something that I've always thought was maybe something like a rule breaking thing that I did. But you're like, no, permission to do that. Like, that's exactly how you should be thinking about it.
And I think it maybe also depends a little bit on like where you are in business. If this is your very first business, yes, I suggest you follow somebody and do what they tell you to do as a starting point. But as you experiment and go, this doesn't fit me, walk away from the dialogue that is telling you that it's about you and go, this isn't the right business model. Who has something different? Is this the right business model? Okay, what doesn't? And then eventually you've tried so many things that you can take a moment and be like, I actually don't like any of them. What's my own idea? With a little more confidence. I think the problem is that most people don't, by the time they get to that point where they're ready to have their own idea, they don't have the confidence to have their own idea.
Ooh, that's such a good point. As you were saying this, what I was thinking of is this is something that isn't just a business thing. When I think about being in high school or college and trying to think of what I wanted to do in my career, or in my mid-20s, when I say I had my quarter life crisis and I left working for my dad to go back into marketing, I look at those pivotal points where I wasn't happy with what I was doing. And I had an internship in college where it seemed like what I wanted to do. I wanted to be doing graphic design and online sales and all of this stuff. And I was in this really cool environment and there was a lot of opportunity and I was making good money. But what I realized is I was sitting at my desk every single day and I didn't really have any interaction with other people. And I need interaction with other people. So like that is like I thrive off of that. And it's been interesting now, fast forward and coming off of a year where we really didn't have a lot of interaction with other people in our everyday lives, right? Or every whatever lives. I did have interaction over Zoom, but I feel like I we're coming out of this. You know, we're finally where I live, we're able to be seeing people more and doing things. And I didn't realize how much I missed it and how much I needed it. And now I'm really reevaluating how I run my day to day. I'm like, how can I add more humanness into this? Because I need more peopling to just really feel like myself. So it's funny because I had noticed that early on in my career. And then being in this online space and also being in, you know, a global panini press or whatever we're calling it, pandemonium. That I wasn't getting that, I realized how much I value it and want to find more ways to work that in.
Yeah. And I think it's one of those things about the pandemic stopped you and forced you to have that look. But what if you stopped on a regular basis and just checked in the same way?
Yes. Yes. Well, and realizing that it can be different. And when we have our own business, sometimes we don't think that thing, like we have full ability to make it totally different. But it doesn't feel as like, oh, no, I'm going to get a different job or like me leaving working with my dad to go find marketing. We don't always think about those drastic changes in our business, or maybe they feel scarier where it's like, oh, wait, I've been doing business this way and now I'm going to do it a totally different way. You know, going from being a service provider to being a course creator is something that's pretty common in our industry, but that's a big jump. And making that jump can feel really scary or just like impossible to make happen.
Yeah, I think what happens when you come into the online world, and I'm sure this happened to you as well, the first time you're like, okay, I'm going to have a business. And you go, what skills do I have that people will pay money for? And you go, okay, these are my skills. Great, I've got my skills. Okay, let me go sell them. And people are like, I want that one-to-one. I want that in a group. I want that with you standing on your head. I want you available 24/7. Here's what I want. And you're like, I'll do anything for money. Here we go. And then what happens is you're excited about the money and the success and like, oh, look, I'm making money and I'm not in a job, that you don't notice that what you're selling isn't lighting you up, that it isn't interesting to you, that it isn't exciting to you. And by the time you do, you've now built a business that's paying the bills. And it's very hard to step back from that level of quote unquote success and potentially start from scratch. You know, and this is not purely an entrepreneurial thing. I can remember being like 5 years into my banking career. And my friend and I started at the same time at different banks, and he took a step backwards and went basically into almost the like the training program at his bank to change the department that he wanted to go into. And he's wildly successful at it. But I can remember at the time thinking, why would you want to step back 5 years? But he had this much longer view of where he wanted to get to and was able to do that. And I think that's where we have to get to. We have to go, okay, yes, I've invested this time. That time is now gone. And I'm not saying you just stop. You don't burn your business down to change your business model. You decide what your business model is.
Yes, yeah, me too.
Me too. Not recommended. No, I've done it a couple of times. Really not recommended. But it's more looking at what is working, what isn't working, and how do we transform it into something that makes you excited to go to work and you finish the day and you're still pumped and ready to have a social life on top of it versus getting to the end of the day and face planting into your pillow and having a quiet little cry to yourself and dragging yourself to your desk the next morning, even if it's paying the bills, because that is just a job.
That's so true. That's so true. I also think that sometimes, I don't know, the industry has, I mean, there's not like a flow chart with this anywhere, but I feel like there's this like hierarchy that's this like invisible hierarchy that people don't talk about of different types of offers. And people may think that doing a certain kind of offer may be taking a step back versus another type of offer. And that's not real. That's not real life. This is just, I don't believe that offers are better than other offers. And my guess is that you don't either. It's really about what's best for you.
No, it's completely about what is going to work for you. I think, yes, there is this thing in the business about the specific order that you're meant to do things in. And therefore, if you choose to stay at point one, you have somehow not grown. And you were just lucky that the very first thing you did, the very first style of coaching or service providing was the thing that felt good to you. Just smile sweetly at them and let them get on with it. And just you just keep doing you. I'm very much in that camp, can you tell? I don't take it personally at all.
I love it. Well, I remember when I had that membership, I got a lot of praise and attention for this membership. And this was, I had under 100 members. This was not a huge moneymaker. It was recurring revenue. I did get a few $1,000 a month recurring revenue, but this was not like putting me on the map or anything. But because I had gotten so much like, wow, how did you do that? And tell me about your membership. And people seemed to be really interested and excited about it, right? Or wanted to interview me about it, or just like, you know, it seemed like a really strong connection point. It really felt like I was taking a step back by shutting it down and starting to do one-on-one coaching back in 2017 that this happened. And that felt like a step back because people are like, oh, like you do one-on-one coaching. Like it's that seemed to be, even though I was able to shut down this membership where I was charging, I think ultimately $97 a month and then start charging $5,000 for coaching packages, I was instantly able to be bringing in more revenue, making a bigger impact with my clients. But I was so afraid of that perception. I'm so glad it didn't stop me. But there is that like, you know, oh, membership versus one-on-one that I had to just not let ego get in the way of that.
Yeah, I think that's a really difficult one because people are very like, oh, you must not be at capacity if you don't need to do group. It's like, no, I could also just choose not to be at capacity. But I think it comes back to like memberships were super trendy in 2017. It was the thing to do. And so everyone wanted a membership and you choosing not to have a membership was nothing about you to them. It was 100% about how you were making them feel about their choice to have a membership.
Yeah.
And so every time somebody is pushing you against a direction, against a business model, you have to ask yourself if it's about you or it's about them. And do they know what you know? Now, I don't mean you're talking to your partner about it or your like business coach who's deep in the weeds with you and knows exactly what your thinking is, but your peers and your friend group, it's scary to other people when you make a big change because it reflects back on them whether they would be so afraid to do that change. So what if you're right? What if you're right and one-to-one is the way forward and now they have to do one-to-one and they're terrified they have to do one-to-one? Or what if memberships are the emperor's new clothes and they got on the bandwagon too late? And so it's all about their internal dialogue about what your decision means to them. People like to keep you in the bubble with them because you validate them, right? It's the same when people try to leave corporate jobs. Everyone tells you you're insane. Why would you walk away from the salary? What about medical? Some of it is because people care about your stability. And some of it is because you choosing not to be in a corporate job says something to them about them choosing to stay in a corporate job.
Oh, mic drop with this. It's so true. And this is something that has even been bothering me lately with, like, we wrap our identity around our business model, like,
right?
And I can see where that's like, okay, well, if I wrap my identity around being a course creator or service provider or whatever the, you know, the different ones are, like, there's community in that. I'm able to connect with other people. People are, you know, able to maybe target me easier with marketing with that. But it does make it, when we've taken that on as our identity, that makes it harder to make a change. And we are not our business model. Although maybe we are. Maybe we should be in a different kind. Well, I'm joking as I say this because of where I'm going with this conversation with Diane. But yeah, it's, I don't think that they need to be one and the same.
No, and I think it's really dangerous for it to be one and the same. So as somebody who had to do a lot of work around identity, like I was in corporate for more than a decade, this was 100% my identity. I quit my job. Nobody talks about that side of leaving corporate. All you see about leaving corporate is, oh, I like the beaches and I have all the vacays. Nobody tells you what it is like to wake up the day after you quit a long-term career, because your identity is so wrapped up in you being that thing 5 days a week that now you have to be something completely new. And what I did with that was I just replaced it with traveling. So I wrapped my identity in being a nomad. And then when I needed to desperately stop traveling and change that, again, I had to recycle through this identity thing. And so I think that's why I'm a little bit more, not necessarily bulletproof, but I'm a little bit more like, my business is not me. My business model is not me. I have changed my business multiple times.
Same.
Overnight, yes. On a cocktail napkin, because I've been through what it's like to connect yourself so deeply to some kind of description of you. And I think that is something that we encourage in entrepreneurship. You heard me say it in my intro, coaches, consultants, service providers, because we're taught you have to niche, tell people who you're talking to. And if they don't have an identity, how can you target them, right? So we're encouraged to have that whole thing wrapped up in a nice big bow. So there's loads of stuff to untangle.
I am really fascinated by this tool, this assessment that you use to help guide people on their business model, because it's like, what should that be? What is the best way for me to have a business? And that's a question that, if we're not always asking ourselves, we should be asking ourselves that. And it's really interesting to me that there's this assessment that can help guide us. So tell us about that.
So what the assessment is designed to be is less of a personality profile and more of a business development tool. What it does is it points you to what gets you into flow. And this is the other F word in entrepreneurship is, oh, you need to be in flow. Everything's easier when you're in flow. If you just get into flow, like, great, but nobody's telling you how to get into flow. There's this like, oh, if you set up this and you like, where's the step-by-step manual? And basically that's what this assessment does. So Wealth Dynamics was set up by a guy called Roger Hamilton, and he went back to the I Ching, which is what DISC and MBTI are based on. They're based on translations of parts of it. So it has really solid grounding in tests that we're used to hearing about. But this was designed specifically for entrepreneurs. It's designed specifically to look at what gets you into flow, because when you're in flow, you can be consistent, you can deliver all the time, and so you're more valuable to your clients, and so you can raise your prices. And if you're in flow, you don't need to rest and recover as much as when you're out of flow. So you naturally create capacity. So you can create leverage, not by doing a group program, but simply by sticking to activities that don't drain energy out of you. They don't make you need to recover. They don't make you need to have a little cry or a nap or a 3-day weekend to recover from. And it's so interesting to read your personality back to you, to have a report say something to you. For every person, I find there's usually one thing in the report that really hits hard. And for me, it landed in a way that DISC never did, that MBTI was so complicated. Enneagram felt like it was a choose your own adventure. It was very guiding you to, hey, these are your natural strengths. These are your natural weaknesses. Therefore, this is what's going to take you to your goals as quickly as possible. It's going to make you the most valuable. It's going to give you the most capacity if you stay in this zone of genius or in flow. But it was almost like an instruction manual for flow. So what it's made up of is essentially like four energies. One is like the energy of ideas and innovation. One is more people. The other is more resources. And the other one is more systems and data. And when you think about that, if you think about that in a natural cycle in a business, it starts with, what are we going to do? Like, what's the idea? Who's going to do it? When are we going to do it? And then how are we going to do it? Right? So all of those four energies need to work together in a business, right? They need to work. They work together in nature as well. If you think about spring into summer, spring is everything that's new. Summer is everything that's fun. Autumn, fall is everything that's grounded. And then winter is black, white, cut and dried. So it really reflects the cycles that we see naturally in business already. And it just points you in the direction of your natural talent. And so that's really different from your skills. So remember I was saying, like, when you start, everyone's like, what skills do you have? And what can you sell? And off you go selling your skills. When the reality is, if you sold your superpower, your innate talent, you would be happier. Your clients would get better results and you would hit your goals faster, easier, smoother. So this one is really designed to do. And there are 8 profiles, which are combinations of the 4 energies.
I love how you broke that down in terms of the 4 sections. So does that mean this is something, so the tool is used for us to take to see which maybe flow state or business model is going to be best for us, but it sounds like maybe this is something we could use to build our team too.
100%. It is designed to, so what happens in a business is, and I see this over and over and over again, is people hire themselves because you know how to relate to that person. You love the same things. You're nerding out on, like, if you're a systems person, you're nerding out on the systems. If you're a people person, you're having the best conversation ever in the interview. And it happens everywhere. It happens in corporate as well, just as much. And what this tool does is it says, well, hey, here's your superpower. Here's where you're missing some superpower. How about we find people with those superpowers and you can form your little, like, Guardians of the Galaxy, Avengers, Power Rangers, little squad to drive the business and fill in those gaps so that you have that whole cycle. You have the person who is naturally innovative. You have the person who is people oriented. You have the person who's watching when and where things are happening all the time and making sure that everything stays on track. And then you have the person who's monitoring it, building it, checking that it's working and improving those systems. So it's kind of that cycle in nature, that cycle in business. You want to have that cycle in your team as well.
Okay. So can you share what your profile is?
Sure. So my profile is a creator profile. So I am 100% the innovation or ideas energy, which means basically I like to have a lot of ideas. I like everything to be really new, really fast. I get bored really easily. And I'm very difficult to have as a team leader because I am on idea 17 while you are still implementing idea 1 that I told you about 3 hours ago.
That sounds like me.
Right? So it's a really challenging space to be as a leader, but a great person to have. This is the person in the mastermind, and I can say this because this is me, who you ask the question, and this person has 40 ideas, and you're kind of left like a deer in headlights staring at them going like, I don't know what to do with all of that. But most people would guess that I was more a Lord, which is 100% that systems and data energy. Because my corporate background, I'm an accountant by training. I love a spreadsheet. I'm known for my love of a spreadsheet.
I have seen your spreadsheets and detail and action, but that is
my learned skill set. Mm. And what's really interesting is, I don't know if you do this in the US, but I did like aptitude tests when I was, I don't know, 16 or 17 and trying to decide what I wanted to do as my job. Because in South Africa, you very much go to university for the job that you want. It's not like America and the UK, you might do a geography degree and then become an accountant. And I can remember him saying to me, like we were talking about different careers, and he said to me, look, you can be an accountant. He's like, you can do it. Like, you'll be good at it. But you're going to be so bored. So I don't think you should do it. So obviously I became an accountant.
Challenge accepted.
You know, yeah, don't tell me not to do something. But in South Africa, it was a different world, right? Your opportunities outside of very specific professional careers had very different financial ramifications. So it was a safe bet, especially knowing that I was going to leave. But what did I do? Skill set, burnt out, flamed out completely, and then came around to, oh, yeah, I'm super bored doing that. And my natural space, the thing that I've always been as a kid, is it's always been the ideas and huge fantasy and story concocting and games that came out of thin air and stuff. So like it comes right back to like what's naturally in you. And they even test kids, you know, there is like a Wealth Dynamics kids version as well. So I can fool everybody. And this is one of the things I say about this test is once you take it, it's the same with like, if you take any of the tests, you start guessing like, what is your husband? What is your wife? What is your boyfriend? What is your partner? What is your like child? But you don't know unless you see that person in that flow state. Unless you know that that person loses track of time when they're drawing the world's biggest mind map, you're not going to know that it's an idea generation thing. You're going to see the spreadsheets and assume that because they're good at something, that's their superpower. And we do this to ourselves.
Yeah.
If I'd read anything about it before, I probably would have guessed that I was Lord or Mechanic, which is the improver one, combination of the two. But when I read the Creator brief, one of the things about the Creator is they plant the tree and then come back to pull it up to see if the roots have grown, right? Is it happening? How, like, let's go, let's go, let's go. And that's very me. I've had like 20 ideas since breakfast. So that is one thing that I do always caution people. I think when you're looking at something like DISC, which is behavior-based, it's much easier to go, oh, that person's probably a D or an S or whatever. Same for MBTI a little bit. Enneagram, your guess is as good as mine. And I can't follow who is what in an Enneagram. But that's always the caution that I give people with this one, is it is something so personal that you may never see. And that's also why when I'm talking to a client, I'm never going to tell them what their profile is. The test is going to tell them what their profile is, but that has to resonate with them. Because if they've taken it from a skill set perspective instead of a flow perspective, if they weren't thinking about their business, they were thinking about something at home, I can't work through what they said in the test. So there is an element of having that moment for me, like reading about pulling up the seed, or from reading your profile and being like, I'm not sure. And then going, okay, how do I investigate this further?
So I want to go down that road. But first, I just want to ask you, when you discovered that you were a creator, how did you change your business model? Or did you change your business model? Or were you already in something that was in support of that?
I feel like it was validating to me, because I have been saying for years, like to business coaches, when people have said to me, what do you want to do? What's your dream business? What's your dream business? I have said, all I want to do all day long is have ideas that other people implement. I just want to have ideas for other people's businesses. That's all I want to do. And everyone would go like, yeah, okay, that's a nice idea, Dan. Sure. Mm-hmm. So I think it validated that and allowed me to really step into what I do now, which is have ideas for people on their business strategy. And it's one of my friends who's been in a mastermind with me calls me the ideas savant. She's like, you just never stuck for an idea. And it just allowed me to be like, this is okay. This is actually something valuable. And it allowed me to be like, this has value and people need this. I just need to learn how to communicate that to people. So I don't think my business model changed as much as my communication changed. It became very much around like, how do I explain why I'm valuable? Because it's not something that people see every day. It's not like an obvious, I'm going to do a spreadsheet for you.
Yeah. Ooh, okay. Very interesting. So I took the assessment and I got one result and some of it resonated with me, but it didn't feel like it totally fit. And the examples, especially in terms of how I would use it the most, just seemed very off from how, I don't know, from like anything that would be like a natural fit for me. So then a couple of friends had said that they thought I was something else. A team member thought that I was something else. So now I'm very confused, but also really fascinated with this and going down the rabbit hole, because I think this is really powerful to be able to use as a framework in terms of how are you in flow? And this is something that I've been already working on with my team in terms of getting things off of my plate that I have a lot of resistance around or that are hard for me, because then it's very draining. Anything details is draining for me. And so the less I'm doing those things, the more I'm able to do the things that I do best. So it's interesting though, my dream, I don't know if this will resonate with you at all, but my ultimate goal for the business is to only have to do things that require me to just show up. So this is the, whether it's showing up for a podcast interview, someone interviewing me interviewing them, meetings with the team, you know, collaborating, brainstorming, you know, anything like that, speaking, hosting events, group coaching calls, one-on-one coaching calls, anything where I'm just with other people and showing up, like that's my favorite stuff. Anything that requires me to like sit down by myself and focus, that's what I really struggle with. Yes.
So
I do need my alone time too, though. I love my alone brainstorming time. So like that balance. But in terms of like things on my calendar, that's my ultimate goal. So are there questions, I guess, that you would ask me, but also anyone, to help narrow down if you take the test and you're not sure it's the right result? How do you figure that out?
So in the test, it's going to give you your primary profile and your secondary profiles. Now, the way to think about that is to think about you're an airplane. And when you're in your primary profile, you're in flow and you go the fastest if you just keep going straight. However, you do have two wings that you can lean on to stabilize. And what happens when you lean on a wing, if you think about a plane, it goes slightly off kilter, it turns just a little bit off center. And so it's just going to take you that little bit longer to get to your goals. So I like to think of being in your primary profile as being like 100% in flow. It's energy generating, you're pumped, you're ready to go. I like to think of being in your wing as you're at the same energy level as when you started. Almost like it generates enough energy for you to do the thing and stay in flow in the thing, but you're not, you know, if you went in tired, you're coming out tired. It's not going to like pump you up and hype you up. First thing I always say to people if they're unsure about their profile is to read their two secondary profiles and see if one of them lands more. Because they are just one to either side of your primary profile, there's a chance that you could have answered a question slightly differently that just has bumped you very slightly into one versus the other. So that would be where I would start. If it really doesn't resonate, then I would strongly suggest talking to somebody who can have the conversation with you. I always say when I do a booster shot call with people, the thing I'm looking for is either the person is comfortable that they know that that's their profile and they're very happy in it. And we look at how do we take that forward? Or they come and they're like, I'm not 100% sure. And then we spend the time finding that profile because ultimately it's your profile. You are the person who knows when you feel flow. I can't see flow on you. So that would be where I would start. Very often, if you're completely the opposite. So I have had people who have come in full winter energy and feeling like they're full people energy. That to me, I'm going, were you answering from a skill set or were you answering on flow? When it's way off, there's a very good chance that you're answering. You've done the test from a skill set perspective. And you might want to go back and really ground yourself in how do I energetically feel and try retaking it.
Now I'm like, what was I? I'm notoriously a bad test taker with these things. I tend to not be very self-aware, or I tend to operate a certain way. That's what I know that Enneagram is not your favorite. But with Enneagram, I tested as a 3 every time I took it because I was operating like a 3. But my motivations were not the same as a 3.
Right.
So with Enneagram, once we got underneath it and we're like, what are the motivations? What are the core fears? That didn't resonate. And that's how I ultimately determined that I was a 7. So with this, it's a little bit
different. See, I tested a 1-8-7.
As a 1-8-7.
Like the memes for all of them resonate for me. Enneagram, what frustrates me about Enneagram is that it's very open to interpretation. It's story-based. It's handed down from person to person. And there is a little bit of like, well, I don't want to be an 8, so I'm going to be a 7 because I think 7s are cooler. And so I just am. Whereas at least with this one, I find most people are bang on there. I've had one or two who, once we've talked it through, have gone, oh, no, I totally do that. I totally do that. And I've had some people who, really interesting case where somebody was coming out as the complete opposite of where, when they heard me talk about it, they thought they should be. And that was the role that they needed to fill in their family. So they filled the gap, and it was so built into them as a skill set from being a child that when they were asked the questions, they automatically filled the gap. But actually, when they thought about when they got into flow, it was a completely different answer. And so I think that's another thing is if you're reading a profile and you think, oh, this doesn't sound like me, ask yourself what does sound like you when you're in flow. What feels like, and if you don't know what flow feels like, people describe it as time flying by, not noticing the time, being in the zone, you forget to eat, you forget to get up from your desk. Some people really have never experienced it in their business. And so if you can't picture that in your business, go into your personal life. Do you find flow playing a musical instrument? Chances are you have that creative ideas energy. So you're one of those 3 profiles that hold that energy. Are you the person who loses track of time at every party, right? Chances are you have that people energy. And so which of those profiles is resonating for you? So when you get the report, you do get details on your primary and your secondary and quite a lot of detail, but you also do get an overview of all of them. And when people do the test through me, I have a whole podcast. It's like a 25-minute podcast that walks you through basically what the report's telling you in a more short form way that talks about all the profiles as well and what their superpower is and what their kryptonite is so that you can start to think, oh, actually, that sounds like me. Let me dig more into that profile.
Now I'm just, of course, my own wheels are spinning. Like, well, where does this leave me? I feel like I'm equally creative and people oriented. And I think that's where I'm struggling is, I guess, more when I was a kid, I was so awkward and such a dork and really struggled with that probably until college is when I found it easy to make friends. But up until then, I struggled a lot in just being a big dork growing up, but very creative teachers, you know, writing home, daydreaming and, you know, and all of that. It was very, very natural to me. That assessment that you took, I took. And the only thing I remember from it is that one of the options was like being a reverend. And I thought that was hilarious.
Oh my gosh, I definitely did not get that.
I'm like, my dad's Catholic, my mom's Jewish. I'm like, I'm going to be a reverend, guys.
Yeah.
Like, no. Like, where's the career path here? But does that ever happen where someone feels like they're equal?
Well, if you were split between two of the energies, you're one of the corner profiles. So you have eight profiles, four of them are pure energy, like the pure one energy, and then the others are split between the two. Do you mind if I say what your profile is?
You can share, yes.
So when I look at your graph, you have a lot of blaze energy, you have a lot of people energy. Your people energy is 60%. Your creative energy is only 36. So where you're seeing them being 50-50, I'm seeing it being closer to like 60-30 from your answers, okay?
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that you're not in your star profile way more. The thing for me, why I think, so Jacqueline's profile is a supporter, natural leader, motivator, people person, brings the best out of everybody, builds people's confidence, leads, great. It doesn't like numbers and details and routine. On the one side, she has a star secondary profile, which is all about attraction, very like outgoing, the speakers on stage love to be front and center of a crowd. Their weakness is detail and sometimes forgetting that people have to deliver what they promise, right? Stars tend to be really cracking salespeople. Supporters tend to be really good team leaders of teams, not necessarily managing, but leading a team. The reason for me why I lead onto supporter, I think more than you do, is that the other secondary profile for supporter is the deal maker. And the deal maker skill is those deep, deep relationships and connections. And that for me, so if you think about it in that cycle term that we're talking about, the star is the one that goes, hello, new business. And then the supporter is the one that's going, oh, hi, new business, meet the team. This is how we're going to support you. And the deal maker is the one that goes, okay, I'm going to take that relationship and I'm going to bury them. I'm going to be so intertwined with them that they can never leave us. Not in like a codependent kind of way, but you know, that real depth of relationship. And for me, I have seen you do that with people one-on-one in several instances. So yes, I think you have the star who's very happy guest speaking and showing up and being on stage and talking. But I think you equally have that deep, deep connection of the deal maker, which I don't see in a lot of people who I speak to who are stars. Like, it's not a natural business flow state. I think you would be as happy spending a day one-on-one deep diving into something with someone as you would be on stage presenting to a room full of people.
100%.
Right? I think the other thing to remember is just because this is your innate talent and your fastest path to growth. So your fastest path to growth is essentially people, solving problems with people. Somebody who's in Lord energy, their fastest path to growth, to wealth, to results is systems. It's just a different way of handling it. The other reason why it speaks to me more than star for you is both star and supporter and deal maker are all extrovert, which means using people to solve problems or get results. However, at the top, stars like to speak. So they use people by speaking to people. Deal makers get results by listening to people. Listening for what do you need? How can I help you? And the supporter is a 50-50. They both listen and they speak. And that's why they're so good with people and leading people. And so for me, that coaching that you have that feels resonates. More supported to me than star.
No, that mix really resonates because I don't like to just tell people, much like you, where it's like, I don't believe in the cookie cutter. I want to be able to customize things. So I want to listen and get to know them and understand and see how, you know, about them and the business and their ideal client and all that stuff. But I also have the ideas and want to share. And And I have an abundance of ideas. And so it's nice to be able to have people to give those ideas to, so I don't go create like 1,200 businesses off of them. So when I was reading The Supporter, it gave a lot of examples of CEOs and COOs. And that's, I think, what I was like, okay, I don't want to manage people. That is not my skill set at all. I need help people managing me. Like, me managing people is a whole nother. I have managed people. From a young age, I've like had management positions, but I am not great at it, in my own opinion. It's certainly not natural for me, and it's not enjoyment for me. And I don't feel in flow when I'm managing. And that way, leading a community, like, that feels different, right? So what would you say? Because I was like, these aren't entrepreneurs. Like, I think that's what I was really struggling with. The Supporter is, I'm like, I don't really see where I would fit into this in terms of a business model. But are there business models for supporters?
So your success is going to come from driving a team-based. So if you wanted to scale, I would be looking at, how do we build a team? How do we build a team that delivers what you do, that you are essentially driving the team, right? You drive the business, but the team is doing all the bits and pieces. It's that ability to let other people shine. And so what I see a lot of when I see supporters come through, it's coaches, but like genuine coaches, not like people like me who are strategists, because I'm a creator. I have all the ideas. I want to tell you all my ideas. I don't want to ask questions and for you to find your own idea. Whereas you are much more in that coaching space of, how can I bring the best out of this person that I'm working to? You know, we've worked together. I've experienced it. That's why I know it's there. And so it's about finding how you can build a business that's based on relationships for you in that supporter space. If you were in that star space, I would be like, how can we build a business that puts you in front of a lot of people as often as possible? Like, what's your visibility plan? Because that's where you shine. I have a friend who's a star who like literally just has to show up to a summit and people are like, take my money. It's just her jam. I have to do a summit. I have to be like, okay, like, let me prepare. Let's sit down and do slides. I've had 17 new ideas since I submitted mine. I can't even remember what I submitted, right? So it's about finding what, it's not about necessarily changing what you do so much as it's us changing how you do it and cutting out the things that you're not so great at or giving them to a team member. So you have a couple of options. If something isn't in your wheelhouse, just because you can do it doesn't mean you should. You can automate it, you can delegate it, or you can transform it. You can find a way that it works for you. And if it's something that we really can't avoid, what we look for is, how can we buffer it either side with what does work for you? So can we give you one really difficult day a month, and the day before and the day after you're doing the thing that you love the most in the world? So you build energy before you do it, you lose a bit of energy, and then you build up again afterwards. But it's only that one day that's really awful versus like death by a thousand paper cuts, where every day you're doing a little something that's not great.
I like the batching the awful concept.
Yeah, I have a podcast. I have a podcast episode on it. I can't remember the number, but if you look at my Instagram account, it's the tweet that says batch, please. And it's all about batching. Forget about batching your content, but batch what's not natural for you.
Yes. All right. I definitely have my wheels turning. I appreciate the personalized coaching here, especially because you have seen that other side of me. So you know from the inside.
Yeah. And I think the thing to remember, whichever those you decide on, star or supporter, you're hiring, remember you have very little resource and very little systems superpowers.
Oh, I'm very aware of this, but yes, you can remember.
So those would naturally be the superpowers that you hire for, whether the person has 100% of that energy or at least has it in their profile. The deal maker is good at bringing people together. The people with the more resources energy are incredible at timing. So like traders, like buying and selling things at exactly the right moment, because they're so aware of everything that's going on. So great place to put customer service. And then as we go around, OBMs, project managers are more that combination of the systems and that timing. Where is everything? Where are the resources? And then we go up, and the Lord is more like your accountant, your systems person. And then the mechanic is your like improver person. So for you, you'd probably want a trader who's pure tempo energy, because you have very little tempo energy. And then probably a mechanic, which is half that winter systems data energy and half the dynamo energy, because that will bolster your ideas energy that you already have, but with a system spin on it. So they'll look at, how do we improve everything.
Ooh, so that might be the person who could be like, okay, let's take what you have and turn this into a bunch of content, like Gary Vee type of stuff.
Yeah, that's the person who they'll look at. They're all about like, how do we make everything better? So the mechanic is less of a starter of the idea nugget than the creator, but will take whatever you have in place and be like, there's a better way to do this, right? The tempo person, the person with the resources person, is the person who's going to go, we have got these 17 things on, you're going to need to hold, right? The lord or the accumulator owner be like, okay, here's the plan to do that. And here's how we're going to measure it. Here are the KPIs. You want to get some of that systems energy or some of that tempo energy into your team to balance you.
100%. Yes. I'm not the person that hires people like me. Like, I'm like, I need people not like me. We can only have one person like me on the team.
It's a very supportive thing to say, right? Because you're very people aware.
Yes.
You're very aware of what's going to make a good team. It doesn't mean that you are micromanaging them, but you're aware of who needs to come into these roles to get stuff done. So,
okay. I'm going to lean into this.
I think if people do take the test, my one thing would be like, just like ignore the example people. They're great examples, but they're quite corporate examples. And I think the reason for that is because this is so innate, you need somebody to be really publicly known for a long period of time to be able to see what that hidden skill set was, right? If someone's done something for like 40 years, chances are that's something that's a natural talent for them. But what I find is sometimes people react really strongly to the person being given as an example and being like, well, I'm not like them, which makes you want to negate everything in the profile. So to me, I'm almost like, it's great. Roger will probably fire me if he hears me say it. But for me, I would almost just, does this resonate with me without worrying about who the example is of the person publicly given for this?
Okay. And I'm a bad example of that. But I like, it's like the examples, like bring it to life, you know? So I'm glad we're able to give ourselves as examples of it today, because
yeah,
I think you need that context a little bit in terms of like, okay, how do I apply this? And it's so hard to not look at the examples, but I appreciate you giving that like upfront, like, okay, don't let this.
I mean, you can read them, but like, it shouldn't be the thing that decides you. You going, I'm not like that person because I don't like X, Y, Z about them, or I would never have their career is not like a reason for it. What I do, so on my website, if you take the test or anything, any of my testimonials normally have what the person's profile is. So I ask them to share. This episode, obviously, Jacqueline and I have talked a lot about my creator profile, her supporter profile. I've done a different podcast episode, which I'll also link on my website, where I'm talking to someone who's a lord, so that you can start to get a sense for actual entrepreneurs who, whether you know them or not, you can look at what their business is and how are they showing up and does that make sense to you? And a lot of the time, like, it might not. You might look at their business and be like, oh, that doesn't make much sense. But again, because you're only seeing what they're showing from a skills perspective. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
And maybe their business isn't designed in the most optimum way for their personality or for their profile either. So how can we, is there a link to go take the assessment? What are our next steps here?
So I will link it with diamea.com/go-to-girl. So it's just really easy for people to find it. I'll link that. And that's the one that has the podcast that goes with it. Because obviously, if we've got listeners, they're podcast people, that really kind of walks you through almost like if you had an hour long call with me, that's the first half hour of the hour long call is me explaining all these pieces that fit together and just really giving you an overview of how everything works.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so, so much. So go to that link, take the assessment. How else can we stay in touch with you, Diane?
I think Instagram is probably my best. I'm on there the most frequent. I love a DM. If you're listening to this, screen grab it, tag us both in it. If you want to share your profile, share it, hop in DMs and tell me what your profile is. And I have my own podcast called Coffee and Converse, where I also talk about this all the time.
Amazing. All right. Thank you so, so much.
My pleasure. This is super fun.
Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode, or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting you out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.